Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and appreciate you joining me today. And I really have a kind of an admission to share with you that's been on my heart. It's been bothering me for quite some time. And I think that I would have a bigger audience if I just went trans. And I appreciate all the suggestions of going trans. And I've decided that if I'm going to do that, I would like to undergo some sort of transformation, but I want to do it in a funny way that's really effective, that reaches people, you know? I want to make it fun, you know, not something that gets people down. I want to keep it fun. So I was thinking, actually I was talking to my crew before this, about like if you could name a comedian that would be, if I were going to be a trans person and just self-identify as a comedian, a really funny person who could also communicate, like who would that be? And, you know, they threw out names like my favorite, George Carlin, for example. You know, a lot of great comedians out there. Chris Rock, I don't think I could pull that off. But then somebody said, J.P. Sears. I'm like, yes, that's perfect. J.P. Sears, he gets it. He's a communicator. You know, he's on the topics of our time, and he's hilarious too, by the way. So with that said, I'm going to now self-identify as J.P. Sears, and please be welcoming and tolerant of my new self-identity persona. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm the former Mike Adams, now self-identified as J.P. Sears. And to all the skeptics out there of identity politics, I just want to say, suck it. It works. All I did is say that I'm a thing, and now I'm the thing, documented here in front of a live studio audience that is not present. Their future identities are going to be here soon. So, science, ladies and gentlemen. Now, to the news of the day. The good news is it's all going to end sooner than you think. But some would say that's bad news, but the good news is the tyrants, the globalists, the corporations, the glyphosate addicts, they won't be winning once it ends, because we'll be done. There won't be anybody for them to win over. Man, this actually feels terrible, being JP. This is icky. All right, I'm going to, through the power of how self-identity magic works, I'm going to re-identify as Mike Adams. I feel gross.
Yes, indeed. That's much better, much more normal now. Let me get the chair situated. Whew. I never realized what it was like to feel like you have red hair. I'm afraid to interact in the world with red hair, thinking of what people might say if I had red hair. I mean, I have gray hair, I get that. But if my gray hair were red hair, that would be intimidating. So I'm gonna stick with my own skin here, and I thank you for participating in this demonstration of real science, because we are what we wish we were, or something like that. Thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com. All right, welcome to the show. Hope you enjoyed that little comedy bit there with J.P. Sears. Yes, we had J.P. Sears in studio today, and we have an extended interview with J.P. Sears and Mickey Willis, both together in the Brighteon studios, and man, we had a blast. You're going to love this upcoming interview. That's why I'm going to keep this audio segment kind of short here. We do have a couple of things to cover, but man, you're gonna love the interview that's coming up, and it's also... There are some very hilarious parts that you will not, you just won't believe until you see it. So that's coming up. But it was really interesting. We had a lot going on in the Brighteon studios today. We had a gentleman there who was also photographing myself for a book that he's doing, a book about rebels and patriots and so on. And he's photographed a lot of people like RFK Jr., for example, and Alex Jones and many others, and he had set up a little photography thing there in the green room, and we had it all set up when J.P. Sears pops in, and he had never been to our studio before, so he pops in, and we're like, hey, J.P., how's it going?
And he's like, yeah, great to be here. And we're like, hey, you want to get your picture taken for a book? And hey, you want to do this comedy skit? Hey, you want to check this thing out? And JP Sears, I could see the look in his eyes. He's like, what did I sign up for? It's like, I agreed to come to the studio, and what is this? What is all this photography and stuff doing? Anyway, so JP did get his pictures taken by this photographer, and there's some pretty cool shots. Actually, he was really good, but my dog tried to steal the show and get in front of him half the time, so I had to pull my dog off of him, pull my dog out of the way, so JP Sears can have his photos taken. Anyway, it was a fascinating whirlwind of a day, and Mickey Willis was fantastic. And you'll see in the interview coming up, you know, everybody loves Mickey Willis and his, you know, very heartfelt, genuine, true storytelling about what's happening to all of us in this time. Nobody can really explain it as well as Mickey Willis through narrative, through film, you know, through interviews, and also making that emotional connection with what we are all experiencing as we've, you know, navigated the COVID nightmare and everything that has happened since then. So again, those interviews are coming up and you're going to love them. I want to mention that we have another episode of Decentralize TV that should be live right around the time you're hearing this, or maybe very soon to come. It was an episode that was delayed a couple of days because of some editing, but it's a very good episode. It's an interview with the co-founder of Local Monero, which is, the website is localmonero.co, and this is a decentralized way for people to purchase Monero from other people who are selling it, and the sellers don't trust anybody because they've all been ripped off before, so there's a mechanism for trying to make sure that people don't get ripped off. It's a fascinating system and a fascinating interview. Now, in terms of the bombshell news we're covering here today, this is going to be a tough one to swallow, but I'm going to lay it out for you here. You've been living under, since January of 2021, you've been living under a fake administration of a so-called president, Joe Biden, who is not the president, did not win the election, is not legally the president of the United States. You have members of the Joe Biden cabinet, as we interviewed attorney Todd Callender, who found out that those cabinet members, a huge number of them, do not have sworn oaths of office on file. And that includes, by the way, Merrick Garland, the AG. I believe it includes him. It includes Mayorkas of Homeland Security. It includes Austin, the Secretary of Defense. And if you hear my dog in the background, he's just huffing and puffing right now because of the Texas heat. But there are numerous officials under the Biden administration that were never sworn into office, and thus they are not legitimate representatives of the American people. They have no actual legal authority. So the so-called Secretary of Defense is not the Secretary of Defense. He is an actor named Lloyd Austin. He's an actor, okay? And by the same measure, Alejandro Mayorkas, he's not the, well, the Secretary of Homeland Security or HHS. What is it? DHS, excuse me. Homeland Security. He's not that. He's an actor. He's a placeholder. He's just pretending. Well, now we have bombshell news that is coming out of the Epoch Times. Here's the headline. Fauci, other NIH officials may not have been legally appointed to their offices, House GOP says. This story was just published. Former NIAID director Dr. Anthony Fauci and a dozen other directors of the National Institutes for Health, that's the NIH, appear to have not been legally appointed to their offices, according to a year-long investigation by House Energy and Commerce Committee Republicans. Mr. Fauci, I'm reading from the story, Mr. Fauci and the others were to serve five-year terms beginning no later than December 13th of 2021, but repeated requests since March of 2022 to Secretary of Health and Human Services Javier Becerra, there's the HHS secretary, by the Committee for Documents verifying the appointments were delayed or ignored, according to GOP committee aides. Because of the questions about their legal status, every decision made by the directors including the winners of nearly $26 billion in research grants, could be subject to extended litigation or outright nullification. See that term? Nullification. One of the GOP aides told journalists, we're being cautious about the implications here because this is unprecedented. It's not clear, for example, if the entire award process would have to be repeated, a process that could cause chaos among researchers and so on. So among the $26 billion in grants now in question is the latest grant to EcoHealth Alliance, you know, the bat virus people that worked with the Wuhan lab. The Wuhan lab is believed by many intelligence and biomedical experts to have been the source of the COVID-19 coronavirus that has killed more than 1 million Americans, says the story. And so a spokesperson for HHS defended the appointments, telling the Epoch Times that the committee's allegations are politically motivated, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is that these people were never officially appointed to their offices. And this is under Biden. This was supposed to be by December 13th of 2021. So, in other words, since December of 2021, any order that the NIH has given or the NIAID has given is illegal. And this goes hand in hand with what I said earlier about Mayorkas and Austin and other cabinet members of the Biden regime having no sworn oaths of office, and also Joe Biden himself never having been elected. Not by the American people. I mean, he was fraudulently, you know, installed with extra ballot stuffing and ballot mules and what have you. But he was not elected. So do you realize that this really kind of harkens back to a lot of the talk of the white hats and the continuity of government theories that were sometimes associated with QAnon, right? That, as I recall, the theory was that this was a fake staged government installed, the Biden regime, but the real government was still the Trump administration, which was operating under COG rules or continuity of government. And they were, I guess as the theory went, they were allowing the fake government to kind of demonstrate something to the American people, like how lousy Democrats are or something. And then, as the theory goes, the Trump administration was going to sweep back into power and save America after the American people learned their lesson of living under Biden and authoritarian rule. That was the theory, at least as I understand it. I know it's kind of a simplification, but that was kind of the white hat swooping in theory. And a lot of people, of course, dismiss that theory. I mean, at first I thought there might have been merit to that, you know, in, let's say, January of 2021. But since then, I haven't seen much evidence that anything like that is actually happening until today. So it's fascinating that this is in play now. So how many government officials that have been operating under, you know, the color of law are actually not government officials? They're just actors. They're pretending to be government officials, and then people go along with it. Remember when the FDA came out just a couple months ago and said, we never told doctors they couldn't prescribe ivermectin? After, you know, years of berating doctors over ivermectin. So it was all an act. You know, the FDA saying, we never told anybody they couldn't prescribe ivermectin. We were just making suggestions. They weren't, you know, regulatory rules. And you know why the FDA said that? Because I believe the FDA actually has no legal authority under the current circumstances, because the FDA under the fake Biden administration also is not a legitimate administration in this particular, you know, government right now. The whole thing is fake. I think the FDA has false authority, is asserting false authority and just trying to pretend like everybody has to follow them with ivermectin, for example. The CDC, false authority, making a bunch of demands, but they can't legally back it up with anything. You know, and here we go, NIH officials never appointed. Fauci was not appointed under Biden. He's been pretending to be in this role the entire time. He's not a government official. He's just a private citizen pretending to work in government. So then, isn't it fraud that he's collecting a government salary? Isn't that financial fraud? What about impersonating a federal official? Isn't that a felony? aren't all these people impersonating federal officials from Lloyd Austin and Mayorkas and others? Aren't they impersonating federal officials and directing federal funds? In other words, money laundering of taxpayer money. Yeah, these people appear to be engaged in multiple layers of felony crimes against the American people. And yet none of them have any real legitimate authority, except perhaps they have the authority that people volunteer to them. You know, some people decide to go ahead and listen to them and follow them instead of challenging them. So whatever authority they manage to, let's say, summon in people is just given voluntarily. It's kind of like your consent is required. They can't really make you do these things, but they try to persuade you into it. They try to convince you that you have to follow them because they're the government, but in reality, they're not. And even if they were, you know, so what? That doesn't override your constitutional rights or your human rights, does it? So all of this, think about COVID and Fauci and the vaccines and the masks and all of it, was all faked. The plandemic was faked. The vaccines were faked. The mask science was all faked. The science journals covered up the truth about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and even zinc and vitamin D. And they faked everything. They faked the social distancing science, which turns out to be total bunk. They faked the news. You know, brought to you by Pfizer was everywhere. So the entire corporate media just faked one story after another. Oh, look, how many people are dying from COVID? We have to get them all injected with the vaccine. And they said the vaccine is safe and effective. Complete lie. Total fakery. It was never proven safe or effective. In fact, it's dangerous and it doesn't work. That's what we now know. But again, anybody who went along with that, you know, these actors in government are going to say, well, it's your fault. You were too stupid to follow along. They're going to say, you know, probably when challenged in court, they're going to say, well, we never claimed to be official government, you know, spokespeople. We just said what we wanted to say and people just decided to go along with this. Because again, it's all an act. The podium, you know, the presidential seal, whatever's going on at the White House or not going on at the White House, Joe Biden's fake studio that was across the street from the White House. It was a sound stage where they filmed him for a couple of years because he didn't have access to the White House, apparently. So they had to film it in a fake sound stage with fake windows, with fake scenes behind the windows. I mean, that all came out. That was even acknowledged by mainstream media. Mainstream media said, well, he had to have that because it was better for him to read teleprompters there in the fake studio rather than the real White House. So they created a studio that looked like the Oval Office but wasn't, and they tried to pass it off. It's a lot of fakery, a lot of theater, a lot of Truman Show stuff that has been presented as real. The plandemic being just part of it, but also, of course, the 2020 election, the Joe Biden presidency, the science, you know, everything else. And this is why, by the way, the White House has had to argue so strenuously in favor of censorship. Because the truth is known by a lot of people. And if the White House can't demand who to censor, who to blacklist, then the truth is going to come out in record time. And that's why this court decision, this injunction against the White House, blocking them from contacting tech platforms and social media giants and demanding which accounts to censor, this is a very big deal. This is why the White House is now in a panic. And what if the White House, what if the truth actually gets so exposed that this whole house of cards comes tumbling down and we find out that, you know, Joe Biden is given commands in his ear and told what to say by maybe Barack or somebody else. The whole thing is rigged. The whole thing is a Truman Show. The election, of course, was rigged in 100 different ways. We know the ones that were the most effective, you know, ballot stuffing and mules and whatever, ballot harvesting, counting the same ballots over and over again, you know, that kind of thing. If the truth comes out, this whole thing could come tumbling down very rapidly, almost overnight. That's why censorship is critical for their power. Now, here's the question. Are there white hats still in America? Is there some super secret group that's going to reassert control under continuity of government rules, COG? I actually don't think so. I think we are the White Hats. I think Jeffrey Prather has said this, and I agree with him. We are the White Hats. We the people. With our individual efforts, but our community focus. We each strive, but we share what we learn. We inspire each other. We support each other. America is making a powerful shift right now because of this. And it's all the people, like the new film, The Sound of Freedom. That's just, it's a bombshell movie. And it's opening people's eyes to the truth about child sex trafficking across America. And how many people are altering their shopping habits? No longer buying Bud Light. No longer shopping at Target, because Target promotes child genital mutilations, by the way. They target your children. The top songs are songs that are a backlash against the woke culture. People everywhere are waking up and seeing the truth about all of these issues, and they're changing their behavior. They're supporting patriot-oriented companies, truth companies like us, by the way, and they are denying companies like Target and Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, their revenues or their support. So we are the White Hats that we've been waiting for. And the answer is for us to continue to peacefully move each and every day in a way that denies power to the illegitimate cheating cabal that tries to claim it is in power in the United States right now. The weaponized DOJ, the weaponized FBI. You notice the DOJ just issued a bunch of criminal charges against that Israeli guy who was blowing the whistle on Joe Biden's, bribery, kickbacks, tax evasion. Whistleblower gets hit with DOJ charges. Mm-hmm. Because the DOJ is a weapon. It's a political weapon against the innocent. And so is the FBI. And everybody knows this at this point. And the vaccines are a weapon against humanity. And more people are coming to realize that. And so the truth is coming out faster than ever before. More and more people are waking up than ever before. I couldn't have imagined 5 years ago how many people would be questioning vaccines like they do now. I couldn't have imagined how many people would no longer trust Big Pharma. You know, a few years ago, it was just a small number of us who were warning about Big Pharma. Now, I think most of the country gets it. They get it. Big Pharma is not out to help you or save you or to have compassion. They're out to exploit you, profit off of you, and if you happen to die because of that, well, that's just too bad. As long as they make money while you're dying, then their mission is achieved, you see. And I think we're long past the tipping point on the culture wars and the transgenderism, the pedophilia, the child grooming, child mutilations, and the backlash against these child murdering lunatics is growing with each passing day, as it should. And this is exposing the Democrat Party, this is exposing the elitists, this is exposing the Marxist left for what they are. Child murdering, child mutilating, pedophile grooming, fascist demonic lunatics who want total control over your life, and they also want to murder you if you disagree with them. So they want total control over speech, total control over your digital wallet, you know, with central bank digital currencies, total control over all speech, total control over education, universities and, you know, K-12, all of it. And now their agenda is right out in the open. Their agenda is exposed. People are seeing it and people are rejecting it like never before. And despite the censorship, we are still reaching millions of people every month. Just on our platform, brighteon.com, and not to mention naturalnews.com and all the other platforms and social media sites, brighteon.social, for example. So you are living through one of the most extraordinary times in human history. You are watching the power grow in the backlash against the fakers, the cabal, the criminals, the election riggers, you know, the thieves, the mutilators, the groomers, the pedophiles, the traffickers. The backlash is growing with each passing day. And I am honored to be here in this fight for human freedom and human rights, along with you, and to have your support in this fight. So I thank you for your support. HealthRangerStore.com, if you choose to support us. Lab validated, tested, mostly certified organic products that go through an extensive battery of tests in our laboratory for glyphosate, heavy metals, also microbiology, and other tests, aflatoxins, for example, for nuts and seeds, and radiation tests for spirulina, things like that. So support us when you want clean, healthy food and nutrition, and even, you know, emergency backup food supplies, healthrangerstore.com. And support our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, at BeReady123.com. That's BeReady123.com for backup satellite communications, as well as solar generators and energy storage devices that operate off solar panels. Check all those out. And coming up now is the in-studio interview with Mickey Willis, whose powerful films have awakened millions of people. And then also J.P. Sears, the comedian who has awakened millions of people. In fact, his channel is called Awaken with J.P. on YouTube and other platforms. You know, you've seen his comedy. Everybody has, especially in this space. You know, hilarious, but also on point. Powerful message. And he's not afraid to go after the hot issues of the day, like transgenderism, for example. So enjoy this interview coming up next right here on Brighton Broadcast News. And note that we have also other powerful interviews and shows coming up this week. Don't forget to check out decentralize.tv for the latest episode of DTV there. And, well, I'll just keep you posted with everything else that's happening. Follow me on Telegram at Real Health Ranger. And we also have the Decentralized TV channel now set up on Telegram. If you've got a crypto or privacy project that you want us to know about and possibly cover on our show, you can let us know about it there on Telegram. So here we go. Enjoy the interview with Mickey Willis and J.P. Sears. All right, welcome to today's interview with two extraordinary individuals. You know their work and their faces, and maybe even more, but you're going to learn much more today because they said I could drill them with embarrassing questions. It's Mickey Willis and J.P. Sears. Thank you both, gentlemen, for joining me in the studio today. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you for having us, Mike.
Hopefully you can afford a second, third microphone after this, Mike.
We already told them that they had to share one microphone because we don't get government grant money here, it turns out. Yeah.
I do want to mention this is not like COVID era approved social distancing, separate mics. We're not even in like separate plastic containers, Mike, but I just... We'll be okay.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm glad you said that.
Thank you. It's safety is important, and I can already tell you are very safety conscious individuals. So very glad to hear that. Beware of my dog, by the way. He will make an entrance later. Great to have you here. Now let's do some intros. I mean, Mickey, we interviewed you recently about your film, and that was one of the interviews that people gave me so much positive feedback. They're like, oh, we love this guy. Talk to him more.
Oh, good.
They were talking about you, not me, obviously. So.
Oh, I figured. I thought you meant yourself.
This is to be unstated. But tell us about your plans for plandemics and upcoming films.
Yes, there is going to be a Plandemic 4. I'll make that announcement right now. I was hoping after Plandemic 2 that the world would shift enough that there wouldn't be a Plandemic 3, and yet there is. It's called The Great Awakening. Hopefully you have seen it out there. And just recently, I have decided that we need to continue, and I'm hoping that number 4 would be the last of the series, but there's some major narratives out there that we need to continue to expose and unfold before they become the final nail in the coffin of our liberties, I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Powerful films, amazing work. I'm humbled to know you.
Thank you. I feel the same about you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're awesome. What about you?
No, I'm not awesome, Mike, but thank you. I know, you know, first I do want to just fanboy over Mickey for a second. I happened to see the first two Plandemic films right before just the serendipities of life. I had a chance to meet him in person. His family came over to my house for dinner, And I was a fan of his films, a fan of the lies and corruption that they expose, a fan of the truth that it shines through. But also, I just became a mega fan of this man's heart.
Yeah.
Getting to know people in person, such as yourself, yeah. You see them on TV, you see their work, but there's always a question mark, like, what's their heart like? What, yeah. Where's their earnestness? Are they following a higher calling? I was just blown away to get to know the heart of Mickey Willis, which obviously makes me an even bigger fan of his work because I know it comes from a very deep place of service.
Yes. And thank you for saying that. And in that, you know, in that note, I want to say, you know, because you're here, we're joking around a little bit, but I'm a huge fan of your work. Yeah. And your heart actually comes through your work too, in a different way, but you care about humanity. You care about people actually having honest information. And you have so many fans out there. People love your work. And I hope you know that. I'm sure you do. But
well, thank you, Mike. As a professional comedian, I'm supposed to pretend like I don't care, like I don't have my heart in it. We're just like making a mockery of things. But no, that is the intention. I do my best to align with truth and being of service to humanity. So that is where my heart is. I just happen to use the language of humor to communicate the message. But for me, even though I'm labeled as a comedian, the comedy isn't the primary purpose. The message is the primary purpose. The comedy is the tool to help convey the message. So I appreciate you seeing my heart.
But I love the fact that even, I don't know if you strategically chose comedy as a medium of communication or if it was just something that naturally resonated with you, but the fact that you can position what you do as comedy, kind of like Babylon Bee in print, right? Babylon Bee does a lot of serious stories. But they're comedy. They're positioned as jokes, but there's truth. And obviously, it has to be truth in every joke for it to resonate with people. And that's what people find in your work.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you seeing that. And there was no strategy for me. I'm not intelligent enough to be strategic about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it. It's just, you know, 9 years ago, I basically switched careers from being a health coach to getting on YouTube in the beginning, starting comedy, and then it's grown beyond YouTube. So I just had adopted, like, okay, one of the ways I serve humanity is using comedy to get messages across. And so I was just there. And then, of course, the past few years, the mission of the comedy has changed to basically standing for freedom,
yeah,
and calling out corruption. So I just, I like to say I'm Forrest Gumping my way through life and work. No real strategy, but I think when I do my best to shut my mind off, turn my heart on, I kind of clumsily fumble along into a relatively serendipitous path.
Wow.
Okay, my turn. Yes. So I've been a fan of yours for 10 years, and I was a fan of yours before you even knew my name. And that is, we were starting to wake up around the same time. We were both part of the New Age world, cult, whatever you want to call it. And he was one of the first ones to come out of the gate to start to poke fun at it, to recognize how serious it had become and the language that we were using. And so that was what it really did for that whole yoga meditation community is to shine a mirror on it to have people recognize. That's where he started. He was doing spiritual. What was it? Yeah.
Spiritual-based comedy.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I became a real fan of that because I knew that it needed to be said, and it helped me recognize what I was waking up to myself, and it was hugely important because a lot of the people in the movement started to realize that here we are now trying to become this conscious community, but we're kind of creating the same righteous collective and starting to look down on everyone else who doesn't meditate 24 hours a day and do yoga and all of that. And so a lot of your work really helped me out of that in a big way. And I want to, not just because you said so beautiful words about me, but this is one of the most integral, true hearted people on the planet.
Yeah.
Incredible father, incredible husband, and just a really honest, no BS person. And so it's just been a privilege to, since we've moved to Texas, to become so close and work together now, which is it's such a blessing.
And I'll give you a chance to respond to that, but I just want to add then also the ability to be humble enough to make fun of yourself, right? Yeah.
So, and that's, we all have some background in comedy, comedy improv. You used to teach improv. But as you know, to be able to make fun of yourself or to dress up in a women's swimming suit and whatever is you know, one of the highest forms of being able to really communicate effectively with people.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's one thing to get a laugh at other people.
Right.
And when you do that, hopefully it's not at their expense. Hopefully it's not shameful. Hopefully it's in good nature. And that's great. But there is, I would call it, an element of self-realization when we're actually laughing at ourselves. And we're playing the court jester to the tyrannical king of our own ego. So when we can laugh at ourselves, I think without even knowing it, we're living less inside our ego and its agenda of significance and control. We're humans. We're always going to have an ego, but we kind of laugh our way sliding that ego into the passenger seat of our car. So something a little bit more genuine can be steering the ship of our car. It takes humbleness to laugh at ourselves. It takes courage. It takes a willingness to admit we're flawed. You know, we all poop out of our butts. I think that's why God gave us a butthole to remind us we're all
flawed. Well, wait a minute. There are bonus holes now. Don't forget about the bonus holes.
I don't have bonus holes, so I'm not totally sure. But yeah, long story short, I think when we can laugh at ourselves and laugh at the values, laugh at the collective community that we're in, and I know you've got a great community, Mike, and we take that kind of thing seriously, it does so much good. Yet the things we hold most dear are also the things we need to laugh at the most,
I think. Well, and I get this question sometimes because I do a lot of voices and comedy on my podcast, by the way. And people sometimes, one criticism is, how can you laugh about such a serious subject? I'm sure you've heard that.
Right? Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, people are dying. How dare you laugh? Well, we're mocking the stupidity that led to people dying.
Yeah.
Right?
Oscar Wilde once said, life is too important to take seriously.
Yeah.
And I half agree with him. I think we got to take life seriously while also laughing at it. So we're not only taking it seriously. And yeah, I mean, someone dies in a car accident, I'm not going to be making a joke about that anytime soon. But the serious matters of the world, if we're not laughing at those, you know, the very things that people would say, how could you laugh at that? Well, if we're not laughing at that, usually we're in a relationship with it via fear, which means maybe we're controlled by the agenda that we oppose because we're consenting to it through a fear-based relationship. So it's like we're living in that frame. But if we can laugh at it, you know, you're not simultaneously laughing and afraid.
Right.
So we get to break the scar tissue of the fear with laughter.
So thank you for that explanation. That's amazing. Break the scar tissue of fear with laughter. I love that. It should be like a bumper sticker or a t-shirt or something.
Yeah, we should sell those.
Yeah. So Mickey, JP was in your most recent film, right? Plandemic series film. And I really appreciate the fact that he's in it being serious, right? Obviously that's not a comedy context for the film, but all the different voices that you brought together for that film were quite extraordinary. And you've become, let's face it, a celebrity in the space of, I don't know what you want to call it. It used to be called the truth movement, but it's just people who are aware of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people who aren't oblivious sheeple at this point. They all know about you now. What does that feel like to you? I mean, you're the star of the show too, even though you made the film.
Well, you know, it's, after decades in Hollywood, when you look at the press out there that accused me of being a grifter and a fame seeker, I will tell you that fame was not on my agenda. After so many years in Hollywood and watching the double-edged sword that it is and how it's destroyed a lot of people that I love.
Yeah.
If that's your goal, you are headed down a dark alley. And so I'm so grateful that attention didn't come my way. I was very reluctant for the attention. I kind of reached a point in my life, the older I got, where I really wanted to be behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know that I would have put myself on camera with Plandemic One had I known that it was going to be seen by over a billion people. It was just a little interview I was doing with Judy Mikovits.
More like I remember that.
More like a podcast.
Like a walk and talk almost.
But then suddenly there I am, I'm up front, and part of me wanted to pull back. And I will tell you that I had a breakthrough in the creation of The Great Awakening because we held a rough cut screening in Miami about 3 weeks before the big premiere. And the feedback I got was, particularly from my crew who know my story, they were like, you're just avoiding the narrative in this. And I said, what do you mean? The narrative is right there. I said, no, how you arrived at understanding what's happening is you were part of it. And you keep avoiding everything about you in this. And I had to really look at that and think, yeah, I don't know if I want to be part of this really. And then all within 3 weeks, we reshot stuff and oh, I said, really? Okay, let me tell my Bernie Sanders story and let me just lay it out there. And now I look back and I realize that we're all living a story and that our story must be told. We're all experiencing very unique experiences in life and they're valuable for other people. And so there was part of me that I just wanted to be behind the scenes. And also I think it was just ego, not trying to look like ego. Like I didn't want to feel like I'm just putting myself in my own movies, but I was missing an important element in there, which has now informed me. I'm getting very little attacks on this movie because when people understand that I'm only sharing what I've learned through being part of that mess, for exactly. being one of the useful idiots, it's helped them to understand it's not just a guy with an opinion or someone who's out there repeating information that's handed down through conspiracy theory, but I saw behind the curtain. And so when I read the reviews and see all the incredible stuff that people are saying about the film out there, I realize that there's a bigger calling for all of us. Really, you know, we start to think our experiences are insignificant and other people have the extraordinary lives. But we've all experienced hardship and we've overcome, you know, tragedies and turned them into triumphs. And so now as a storyteller, I'm starting to pay more attention to the human, the plight of the human story, the hero's journey,
that's where
and everybody.
Yeah. Well, and plus the corporate media, if they said something bad about your film, well, they're also attacking a film exposing child sex trafficking, so keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing right there that's really exposing them in a big way.
JP, you seem like you want to add something to that.
Oh, yeah, my mind has been blown about, you're talking about The Sound of Freedom, how corporate media is tearing it apart. Rolling Stone said it's a superhero film for dads with brainworms, and they just discount all the child trafficking and the predatory, I think the most heinous crimes against humanity, the most innocent parts of humanity, children going out there. And I've done a couple fundraisers with Operation Underground Railroad. We just finished one right as the film was coming out. I know these people. I know what they do. I know the people involved in the film. So much like Mickey, I know they have great hearts and they're doing the best service on the planet. They're going into harm's way to rescue children from the most dangerous, heinous people on the planet. And for corporate media to smear those efforts, pretend like these crimes don't happen,
right,
and to discount the organization, discount the film, you said it well, Mickey, it exposes them. And I don't think we're going to forget which media are exposing themselves.
Oh yeah. But that's one of the functions of the film. And you know, you being a filmmaker, I know you think about the implications of your films on the public, but it's not just to inform the viewer about the content of the film. It's also in this case to expose the demons in the corporate media that defend essentially the practice of child sex trafficking, because it goes along with, you know, child mutilations, open borders policies, even perhaps post-birth abortions, organ harvesting, all of that. It's all in the same creepy box.
Yes, that's right.
You know, and those people, the fascist left, they're just like moving from corner to corner in the creepy box. Like, what other creepy thing can we pull out of here now?
It's incredible.
It's crazy.
I saw the film over a year ago. Jim Caviezel's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And so he invited me out to a screening out in Fredericksburg, and I saw it then, and they were asking me what my advice is of how to get it out to the world. I was wrong, because I said, don't do a theatrical release, give it away to the world like I do, but they have somehow made an old traditional model work in a very incredible way.
Huge.
Using a technology that I don't know if this was borrowed. Years ago, I created a startup called Play It Forward. And it was to do just this, to allow films of this importance to be paid forward to people that don't even know they need to see it.
Right.
And they're using that model now. And it is. I think this is, as much as Plandemic 1 kind of broke through that ceiling of bypassing the gatekeepers, the Sound of Freedom is doing such incredible work that will be remembered forever, just in its, in its integrity to stay true to the message, to be bold enough to utilize existing parts of the traditional structure and new technologies, and to trust the heart of the people, and just like Plandemic series, no one would have known the word Plandemic had it not been for the people. Because mm-hmm. I just made the movie, but it's the people. When people say, oh, thank you so much for your work, I say, well, absolutely, thank you. But understand that I made the movie, but it was the people that delivered it to you. It's the people who shared it around the world.
Yeah.
And so very similar to what we're experiencing with all these boycotts that are happening right now. There, something incredible is happening because people are waking up to realize not only do we have the ability to distribute movies through our networks, but we also have the ability to defund the companies that are destroying the minds of our children and playing these horrific, demonic games with all of us. And so there, you know, I've been an activist for a number of years. I'm a different kind of activist now. But we used to say all the time, vote with your dollar. And I don't know that anyone understood what we really meant.
Really?
And now people are getting it. They're realizing that we have the ability to cause damage to the bottom line of these major corporations, billions of dollars of damage, to let them know that we, the people, do not approve of that move. And you need to cater to us because we're your audience, not Klaus Schwab, not the World Economic Forum, not ESGs. And not this Marxist agenda that is doing damage to our nation and our world, but you need to listen to us. And so there's something incredible happening for the people waking up to realize the power is in our hands.
Just ask the Target executives what's going on there, or Bud Light. JP, you want to chime in?
Or Ben and Jerry's. Good job. Good job, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think when we send the message to the corporations, having those corporations hear the message, that's one part. But then maybe the exponential part is the other observers who are listening to the message that the corporations are being sent, whether they're other businesses, other individuals. It's an opportunity for the voice of the people to be heard. It's just aimed at Bud Light or aimed at whoever the company is, Target, or in this case, Sound of Freedom. They're hearing the message. That's where the money is going. That's where the attention's going. So
while Disney is empty, Disney World.
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt, but yes.
So people get to hear that message. And I think that's important because the next time, whether it's an individual or a business, has a temptation in front of them to sell their soul in some way or be true to values of humanity, they might choose differently. Some won't. Some will, because the messages are being spoken by the people in a pretty very encouraging way right now. Sound of Freedom is just a powerful example. Oh, Mud Flight is hilarious, and it's a great example as well.
And really, too, before we close the door on Sound of Freedom, the fact that it beat Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, that's a massive, that's David and versus Goliath.
Absolutely.
Right there. And so that sends a message out. And it's not so much about Indiana Jones, it's about Disney. That's the people saying, no, we're not going to support you anymore. You can't pose as the wonderland for magic and wonderment for children and then push these things that are destroying children. We're not going to allow you to do that anymore.
Right.
So good job, people.
Yeah, Disney's got to rethink their entire revenue model at some point, or their place in this economy.
Truly.
But by the way, before we continue, I understand you brought a clip. You have some things from the move from your recent film that didn't quite make it into the film.
Right? Yeah, that's one of the things that is really challenging for me as a filmmaker, and for I imagine a lot of filmmakers, is you shoot 100 hours of footage and you have to whittle that into 90 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And the interview that I did with JP was the first time he had interviewed me before on podcasts and such, and it was the first time we got to sit down and. And so I totally took advantage of the moment too. We went way long and I spoke more than I normally do in an interview. Usually I just sit and listen, but I find such camaraderie in our unified life experiences of being two former California boys in the same clique, and that have, you know, moved to the same area of Texas and are now pursuing a whole different world, but very similar. And so much stuff. I had a hard time in the edit bay cutting stuff out with JP because it was all brilliant.
Uh-huh.
And it was heartfelt. It was stuff that, you know, we talked about fatherhood, and that's our both of us share that's the most important job on the planet. Mm. And we talked about the New Age community, what we're grateful for, what we came away with of understanding that there are some practical, incredible tools that you can take from from that world and apply it to this new world that we're in. So we got to talk about how that affects our lives, our daily practice, and so much of it ended up on the cutting room floor that I am, in a couple of weeks, I'll start editing the full interview and release that out in the world because I think it's really worthy of it. Some of the stuff that he addresses, I think the world would love to hear.
But you brought a little bit to show us.
We brought one of those clips that we'd love to show you now if you
okay,
don't mind rolling.
Let's do it. Let's roll that clip.
Why is comedy important?
Comedy is the court jester. The purpose of the court jester in the kingdom is to help keep the king's ego in check. So the court jester is meant to point out the flaws, the holes in the king's actions and thinking, so the king can laugh at that and say, I didn't see that before. You know, my normal advisors can't tell me that because I'd cut their heads off. But you made me laugh, so you can tell me things, dear court jester, that other people can't tell me. Now, a king that means well realizes, yeah, at times I get out of balance. I get egotistical. I become corruptible. So court jester, call me out. But a king who doesn't have the intention of serving his kingdom well, censored, deplatformed. So we know who the kings and queens truly are based on their tolerance to have the court jesters around and laugh at themselves. And the more tyrannical the king gets, the more we need the court jester.
You mentioned, in terms of I'm so sorry. In terms of, I'm sorry. I can't help but notice the life jacket.
I'm glad you brought it up. I was getting a little uncomfortable. Are you a good person, Mickey?
I'd like to think that I am.
Well, you're not.
Okay.
You're putting everybody at risk by not wearing a life jacket. My life jacket does not work unless you put one on.
Okay. I mean, I understand where you're going. I just don't know how convenient this is in the middle of an interview.
I don't think keeping everybody safe, I don't know that convenience should really be the question.
It's weird. I don't mean to just say this because you're sitting here in front of me, but I haven't felt this safe in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So where were we now?
You're a man of science, aren't you?
You mean a man of, I follow Anthony Fauci?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm a science man myself. The latest Flotation Device Administration information release, we're finding that one life jacket simply isn't enough. We need a booster life jacket.
Oh, you brought one. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, can you just imagine those idiots out there walking around like a moron not wearing a life jacket right now?
So, what is perhaps something that we don't know about J.P. Sears that might be slightly uncomfortable for you to share with us? But because we're so close and because I have blue eyes, today you might make an exception.
When I was a 7-year-old boy, I was the top collegiate female swimmer in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right, that was clearly a very powerful clip. Not sure exactly what to make of it. You want to explain that?
Yeah, science. Is there anything to add to that, Mickey?
Well, yeah, I want to say that it was a little shocking to me when that happened during the interview. And since then, a lot has changed in my life. But they're not the standard life jacket that you would think they are. We're actually in development on these now. They're CDC and FDA approved life jackets.
Why would you need any life jacket?
He's the one that turned
it. It's impossible to not drown without a life jacket, Mike. In fact, our life jackets obviously aren't going to work unless you put a life jacket on. They're completely untested, but presumably very safe.
And effective.
There's been a few accidental drownings with them, but we've got those erased from the news.
Yeah, first of all,
for God's sakes, Mike, we're at risk of drowning, and you're refusing to put yours on.
No, but I just want to say, I understand, Mike, because I was there, and I remember how it felt when JP presented this to me.
But he should be in jail.
Oh, wow. Really? Well, if it means that much to you, to appease you, you're going to be can you continue the interview if I put this on?
That's the only way we're going to continue the interview. I just asked this of you, Mike.
I mean,
in all seriousness.
No, seriously, nobody asked me to do
crazy stuff like this. I just want to ask you something. Take a deep breath for a second.
Just take a deep breath. You're my guest, but you can't just do everything.
Just take a deep breath for a second. And now check in.
Okay.
Do you notice, be honest with us and with your viewers, do you notice a difference?
I do feel like slightly safer. Hugging me, perhaps. You know, childhood memories.
Do you feel less racist?
Oh, now that you mention it, I was recently arguing that Asians should not be discriminated against in college admissions.
Oh.
Was that racist?
I'm not touching that one.
I know a lot of Asians.
As long as you're promoting college admissions based on a racial bias, that's not racist, as long as they're not white. Mickey,
where are you going?
Could you ask Mike if he'd be willing to put a red square in his Instagram bio?
Mike, would you be willing to put a red square in your Instagram bio?
I think I'm going overboard to wear the life jacket, if you don't mind the pun. But where is the water that you are fearful?
Where's the virus?
Well, I never said there was one.
Science has proven water exists and viruses, so
yeah. What we wanted to talk about is that JP and I have joined a partnership, and we have two flagship products that we're working on. One of them is an immune restoring product that is probably the best in the world to help restore natural immunity around the world for all the damaged immune systems. But who cares about that? You can find that at Get Fierce now. It's developed by the top scientists in the world.
Well, the other business venture Mickey and I are launching that you didn't ask about, so we'll be happy to tell you, is this patented life jacket technology. Here's how much this will help humanity. It's looking like it'll give us a profit of $27 billion in the first year alone.
Wow. Those are some fascinating projections.
Once we have them mandated.
Oh.
We're working on that right
okay.
now.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, keep us posted on how that goes. Fauci.
Yeah.
You're working with Fauci. You're working with the governor.
Yeah, we just have to ramp up the fear enough that people will surrender their civil liberties and then accept the fact that we all need to be wearing these. Matter of fact, I want to show you real quick because it's not just for in studio apparel, but this is myself and my family this morning. So you notice there that that's my little guy. So what I wanted to talk about was that. You notice he's got the thumb upside down. And so this is kind of tough to talk about,
but
homeschooled. And obviously he's been homeschooled. And so we're having trouble with him right now because he just won't comply. And so we're looking for a public school right now to enroll him into so he can have some proper indoctrination. But I will say this, if it turns out that he grows up to think for himself and becomes his own man, I'm still gonna love him anyway.
Road, come on, up, let's go, come on, get up, up. Yes, there we go.
Is that
good boy, Rody?
Is that real?
That's AI.
It's definitely real.
AI, dog has big
paws. How would we do this? Do you mind if he bites it?
Can we get camera one tighter on the testicles, please? There we go.
There we go. Okay.
He loves it.
He's
that's what I made that sound when I first.
That's the sound of feeling safe. proves that dogs are smarter than non-compliant humans.
Exactly. There, while Mike is busy with his third guest, I'd like to invite everyone to PlandemicSeries.com or Plandemic3.com. All of the movies in the Plandemic series are free, absolutely free. As a matter of fact, my book is free. You can download that right there at PlandemicSeries.com.
What about finding JP, by the way, if people want more life jacket knowledge?
Well, the life jacket aisle section at the local sporting goods store is a good place to find me. AwakenWithJP.com is the other great place to find me. It's linked to all my content. So also the best place to avoid on the internet if you find me offensive.
How do you know you're wearing enough life jackets?
Great question.
How do you define
great
enough?
Great question.
Booster life jackets, then boost the booster life jackets. Basically, if there's any, the human to life jacket ratio, you want about 10 to 1.
Oh,
so this is obviously
right?
Not enough. We just, to be on camera, need some surface area of our skin.
I do want to say, just for FDA compliance, you don't want to drive with more or four of these on because it can impede your vision.
Oh, but it's okay to use the toilet with them.
I wouldn't use it without it. Absolutely.
Near water. It's required. Thank you for your compliance. Thank you for surrendering the arrogance of your sovereignty. You complying to the ways of natural flotation immunity.
Well,
it makes us feel right.
I'm here to please the guests, and I'm just wondering who's going to wear this life jacket next after it's on his balls. I think that we could probably benefit from some enhanced immunity. I couldn't help but notice you mentioned something earlier about something fierce. What's fierce about it?
Fierce immunity. It is fierce. And that's why the website is called Get Fierce Now. After interviewing a lot of top scientists in the world and a lot of them warning me that we were going to reach this critical mass of damaged immune systems and that all of us needed to take heed and be prepared, and to, as you know, you've been reporting on this a lot longer than most people, there are so many environmental issues that do damage to our immune system, not to mention a rollout of a toxic, untested, and unsafe product that just happened within the last 3 years that has done some damage to natural immunity out there. And I think that's part of the plan, probably, is to have everyone dependent upon synthetic remedies. And so we've developed something that we set out to make the best immune boosting formula on the planet, and the formulator said, no, we won't create an immune booster. We will create an immune restorer. And so we have that now. It's a new product. And that's it's there. It's available. So if anyone wants to get healthy out there, in all seriousness, this is a time for all humanity to unite and rise and come together. And we can't do that if we're not feeling our best.
Yeah.
And so there is a real product out there, and that's called Fierce Immunity that JP and I have partnered on, and it's available. Check it out. And hopefully later down the road, we can end up doing more here with Mike.
That's excellent. Yeah, I want to have another conversation about that. Not that this hasn't been fun, because it has, and I'm feeling very warm and cozy.
That's it.
Inside the life jacket.
That's it. That's how I felt the moment I put it on. And I have not, it's a little cumbersome.
Only if you like to turn your head ever.
But there's really no reason to do that because you have a hip. But it's a little cumbersome in bed, I will say that.
Yeah.
And particularly when, I don't know how to say this, I like to keep a private life, but when my wife and I are, let's just say when we are experiencing...
Walking the plank?
Walking the plank. That's great. I don't know what that means, but I'll go with that. They can get in the way, especially if you wear them the way that your dog's wearing it.
Yeah. It should come with a warning,
nice,
I think.
Yeah.
You know, like a consumer product warning that this is for your neck, not your balls.
For this type of health enhancement products, we've worked really hard to bury the warnings. Kind of made them as illegal as possible to talk about.
Wow. Know,
so... They otherwise would come with a warning because there's plenty to be warned about.
Yeah.
Yeah, just thinking.
And there are tracking devices in them. We'll talk about that later.
Thank you. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure, and I've learned some amazing things about flotation devices as well, and perhaps have acquired a new fetish. Thank you. I'll see how that goes. And with him. And maybe he and I both can join your little party.
To each his own, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you for having all of our personalities as a guest. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, yeah, thank you. And thank you for watching. Of course, this has been a satire segment. I hope you enjoyed it. But we're all lighthearted. We want to have fun in the world. Thank you, J.P. Sears, for coming. And Mickey, also. Yes. Thank you for coming. Mickey Willis, everybody. Plandemicseries.com.
That's it.
And J.P. Sears, Awaken with J.P.
Yes, sir.
On all the video platforms.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. And thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here at Brighteon.com. And we're ready. We're ready for the hurricane that's not coming because we need the moisture at this point. So bring it on. Thanks for watching today. Take care.
Today's interview is brought to you by BeReady123.com, which brings you preparedness items, especially backup communications. They have Iridium satellite phones in stock, as well as Bivy Sticks, which is satellite communications for sending and receiving text using only the satellites, not the cell towers. And did you know, by the way, that you can receive a federal tax benefit of up to 30% for purchases of certain EcoFlow solar products? And the folks at BeReady123.com, they have tips on the website there about how you can do that, how you can apply for that 30% federal tax credit with the purchase of qualifying solar products. But check them all out because, hey, who doesn't need backup solar energy and a backup plan when the grid goes down? And that's what you can find at BeReady123.com, which is, of course, associated with the satellite phone store. So check it out and support our sponsors and get yourself ready for whatever may be coming. BeReady123.com. Thank you for your support.